The show you have selected will start directly after the next message.
Welcome to the future you. Frank Lloyd Wright once said, "Study nature, love nature, stay close to nature, and it will never fail you." At Zija, we love nature. We study nature. In India, we discovered Moringa and created Moringa Supermix, a revolutionary new combination of organic ingredients, including natural vitamins, minerals, proteins, antioxidants, and omega oils. Zija's new Moringa Supermix will help you make a change for the better. Simply click on the Zija banner on the UKHealthRadio.com homepage. Power people need power vitality.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Yes to Life show, which focuses on cancer and the world of integrative medicine. I'm Robin Daly, founder of the charity that the show is named after, which provides direct support to people looking to explore their options within the broad spectrum of integrative medicine. Today's show is all about one very unconventional approach that I've not covered in the show before, black salve. This ancient and remarkable method really stands in contrast to most other approaches, but despite its enormous potential, has been consistently demonized by authorities around the world. This situation means that it can be hard to find people willing to speak about it for fear of attracting unwanted attentions, but I did manage to contact Simon Singer in Australia, not his real name I must tell you, who has had extensive experience both personally and with others. I'm speaking to him in Australia over Skype. Really interested to talk to you today.
Great, thanks. Good to talk to you, Robin.
So yeah, thanks a lot for agreeing to talk about a subject that's generally reserved for behind closed doors. It's actually the first time I've talked about salving in any form. The beauty about salving, I'd say, is its simplicity. Cancer appears to be such a complex disease, but in the case of salving, nature seems to provide a very simple answer.
Yeah. Look, I couldn't agree more with that. Cancer is probably, after years of getting to know it myself, 7 or 8 years, I would say it's cancer is probably something that's been developed through complication itself.
Right.
And nature has that way of unwinding that complication. Mm. And there's four herbs here that have been around a long time. Doing its job, not just with cancer, but all sorts of abnormal cells, and over 1,000 years in the world, to have it sort of lost in areas and now have it resurface, I think through the invent of communications, modern technology, it's communicating and getting it out there. It's proving to be very successful.
It's pretty exciting, and of course, it's a way an awful lot of healthcare is being shared around these days. It's amazing what's happened with social media in that way.
Yeah. Look, I think we're seeing a big, I would call it almost the tsunami flood of people moving to alternative ways or actually finding different ways that aren't being met by your typical medical prescription pad in the local, dare we say it, pharmaceutical drug company.
Yeah, well, I think that's right.
I'm not sure how rich you want me to go with this interview here, Robin, but I'll shoot from the hip, shall we, right?
No, I think it's fine. We don't mind being critical of things we don't think are very good. So, look, the Australian Department of Health says that the recent use of products marketed as containing black salve in Australia has resulted in serious harm to the skin of 3 Australian consumers who had used the black salves for various skin conditions, including the treatment of a skin cancer. The TGA is not aware of any credible scientific evidence which shows that any black or red salve preparation is effective in treating cancer. So how would you respond to this assessment based on your experience?
Oh, well, I would probably first respond by saying the TGA simply doesn't want to be aware of anything that would successfully treat or remove cancer tumours, other than what is prescribed through the traditional big pharma medical conditions and roads, I suppose. You know, it's got to be a prescribed drug that's approved by the FDA or TTA or whatever it is that they do and recommend. So having something else that comes from a totally natural source and total natural means, which can't be controlled, is obviously going to be something that they simply do not want to be aware of. And, you know, when you take the different areas of the networks and people in the underground, as we call it, of the alternative medicine, I know many, many of them being threatened by the TGA and the medical authorities. We see a lot of, you know, news about this type of thing all around the world. And I don't know how you describe it, really. They're not aware. They simply do not want to be aware. Across the groups now, of the Selden groups, there are thousands and thousands of people that have successfully removed the cancers in themselves. And with the addition of, you know, whole foods and change of diet and getting off the foods that people are pretty much forced to eat these days, especially the crap and junk foods, we've seen massive turnarounds in people's health states and tumours just being removed, total reversals. And the big key to that is choosing a path themselves. We see what the TGA and the medical authorities do to market the horrible sides of the photos of Black Selby. Mm-hmm. Many members of the groups, you'll see they'll take those photos and they'll show large holes in people's faces and all sorts of things, but they never ever show the finished product.
Right, so this is part of
the finished product is, yeah, it's fully healed skin with a light scarring that eventually just heals. Not like the scars you get with the big stitches, you know, that wind up across the face and what have you. And I've got one of those myself on my neck, actually. It's like a Frankenstein bolt was removed.
Right. Yeah, I definitely want to go into the whole process of how it happens as we go through the interview. But from the point of view, you could say in one way they're technically correct in that scientific evidence, which means evidence that's come from some science base, is lacking, but you're saying it's from willful ignorance, basically.
Oh, look, it's got to be, of course it is. Something like black cell, they use the words black cell. It's not actually black cell, there's an ingredient in black cell called zinc chloride, which is actually used in the bonding process while it's being heated and processed and cooked. Now, zinc chloride wasn't around a couple of hundred years ago, but black cell was over 1,000 years old. So you can actually cook the process. It's just a series of cooking four natural herbs. And they'll bond, and together they will still do exactly the same process. They've put black cell together now with that zinc chloride because it's part of that process of bonding it, so that the agents actually draw the cancer cells when you apply it to the site. So when they talk about burning, probably a lot of people, you know, there's been a lot of people over the years that have use black cell in forms that shouldn't be used, like reselving into open wounds. You know, that causes high levels of pain because it's a caustic. It's like putting drain cleaner in an open cup or salt in an open wound.
Right.
So you'll see protocols across the groups that have been written, and they've been written from studies of hundreds of people that have selled and sell very successfully. And that's something that, you know, that's probably, when you take the research across it all, it's something that, you know, you've got a scientific label or a badge or anything when you're talking about medical profession. Well, you're not even allowed to talk about this stuff or any process with it for humans in this country and many countries.
Right.
because they simply don't want it out there.
Right.
Because it works.
It's very interesting because unlike a lot of alternative remedies, it's quite difficult to prove that they work. This one is so graphic and so explicit in that it actually removes the tumour, that it's it's a different case in a way that the photographic records that many people have of the whole process really constitutes pretty good evidence on its own.
That's right. The start to finish, and that's probably what I was saying before, Robin, that the TGA and the FDAs will use photographs that go to the start and they go halfway through, and then when the Escher tumour comes out and there's this giant gaping hole left in someone's face or what it may be, that's all they'll ever show. And they use that as fear tactics. yeah. and aligned with Black Cell and look what this idiot did to themselves and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
But you've seen and researched and you see the finished products of many of these people and where they go. And they're quite happy to retreat themselves with it.
Right.
As for scientific evidence now, there's plenty of people that have gone back and had tests. They don't tell the medical professionals that they've used Black Cell, but they've been given the 100% all clear. And that's something that's, you know, it's there for proof, and it's going to stay there for proof, but it's something that's only really growing with it. Whether the medical world will choose to take on this and use what we term, or what the underground, I guess, of the alternative medicine world terms as nature's scalpel, the process of application of cell to within 36 hours starts drawing cancer cells to the surface. You may have seen in my own case where that tumour came out of my lung. You know, the cell engages, the herbs in the cell engage with the immune system. And the immune system is something that is so run down in the typical human body of the modern world person these days. Lifestyles, whatever it is, their foods, their diet, it's blocked up and clogged. So when we focus on a good diet that, you know, cleanses the immune system, supports it, that's the whole food medicine diets.
Right.
And we can use the cell like a scalpel, if you like, to attack either surface tumours or breast tumours or organ tumours. I've done my lung now, my pancreas, two from my liver and one from my spleen. And that cancer got into my system by a simple cut that was placed by a doctor in removing a BCC, a basal cell carcinoma, from my neck.
Mm-hmm.
Cutting any of these moles or anything that's a lesion, the cancer actually has a series of roots. So those roots, when they're cut or the head is removed, this is why you see people when they remove them, they have to cut a large area.
Yes.
But if they just take the one cut, but they cut the roots, it's like snapping off the head of a weed in the garden.
Yes.
You can snap off the top, but the roots are still underneath, and the roots will start climbing through the rest of the garden system to sprout up elsewhere.
Mm.
And everyone will know this, in the last decade, there has been a massive setup of skin cancer clinics everywhere.
Yes.
They just popped up everywhere. And as soon as people go in and get cut, they say, we'll see you in 3 to 6 months. And this is the unfortunate nature of it all. This is what really, really gets to you. And when you start looking at it in these terms, it spreads, and that's what happened to me. And it was right on the main artery in my neck. It spread through my whole body and to every organ in my body. So I was fortunate to run across a lot of people and people with experience that showed me, and by chance I came across it. And I couldn't really describe what this doctor told me while he had a 2-inch hole in my neck, but he was using language to tell me to shut up and just get my head back down on the old platform.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a bit of passion that's taken me a few years to subdue this, but that cut right next to my main artery ensured that the cancer and the roots of it and what goes through just went through my bloodstream, and it started popping up. Within 3 months, it was popping up on my shoulder, down my back, right through it. And I ran into someone that was telling me what was actually happening. This was shortly after I'd had that little operation.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, it's what panned out. And he put me onto the Black Cell and to some very good experts with Black Cell and old masters with it, actually. And they taught me all about it, and I just handed myself over 100% to treating it. And that was 7 years ago.
Right.
I've been through quite a path,
yeah.
But I'm still here.
You're still here.
The cancer went through into my liver, my pancreas, my lungs, my spleen, different parts of the body. I had a diagnosed area of prostate cancer. I used the cell on my leg, and that actually sucked all the cancer out of my groin area and the prostate. And I've adjusted myself to a whole foods, juicing and plant-based diet. And I've never felt better in my life. And I've got 6 or 7 tumours removed. And I'm busy just spreading the word.
Mm. Well, great to hear. Okay, so look, this is the first time I've talked about salves at all on the show. Maybe you could just tell us, well, what is it? As you said, it sounds like it's quite a simple recipe, basically. Tell us a bit more about what it actually is.
Well, for any, if you obviously have a few herbalists and people around, there'll be people that will know about the product. Mm-hmm. It's made from four herbs, and ancient herbs, and they're quite common. There's the bloodroot, galangal, chaparral, and graviola. Those are the four base herbs of what goes into the black salve paste. Right. It's made up with, was generally cooked together in a sort of a simmering process, and you've got the zinc chloride, which is the bonding agent, which sort of, in the process, breaks open the herb and links it together. Right. However, the old American Indians over thousands of years used to just cook it and on a slow heat for quite some time, which will still have the same effect.
Right.
So they add some DMSO, which is dimethyl sulfoxide, but the DMSO is used quite commonly in medicine. That actually helps carry the content of the cell compound into the bloodstream. Mm.
So the key to it
is getting it into the bloodstream, so the bloodstream reacts with it, the cancer registers it, your immune system then activates and actually locates the cancer, mm-hmm. and it's sort of like, you understand the nature of a crab pot.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you had to put bait inside a crab pot, the crabs come walking to it, and that's exactly what happens with the cancer cells. Mm. And to help understand what cancer is or a tumour, cancer is not what most people believe it is. Cancer is actually, or a tumour, as we call it, most tumours are simply a sac that has been created by the body to store toxic waste material that's within the body. It's when the body's overloaded. So when all our lymphatic system is full, our nodes and our glands are full, with all the crap, it starts storing sacs in other areas of the body, and the medical profession calls them tumours and cancer.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, as the world goes, you know, these cancers and everything is a cancer. You know, one in two people in the States are diagnosed with some form of cancer. Cancer is business. Quite frankly, if we hadn't got off this road and got it so complicated, as you mentioned in the first statement, mm-hmm. Cancer is caused by a series of complications in our foods. What we're forced to eat these days in supermarkets, or what most people are forced to eat, the junk foods, the sugars. The body's organs are really the key to it. And if you work out how the food industry attacks one very vital organ that we have, and that's the organ, the pancreas. So we hear a lot about pancreatic cancer and diabetes. The pancreas' function in the body is simply to analyze food and project and release blood sugars to match what is required in the body so the nutrients can spread through the body. But we understand the amount of sugars and everything that are applied into every bit of food, drink, whatever we are eating these days, buying on supermarket shelves or whatever it is. The high contents of sugars are absolutely hemorrhaging the pancreas. So the pancreas in our form of digestion never gets a chance to do its balancing or correct distribution of nutrients to the body. Simply, just don't buy the shit. Get yourself onto some whole foods, excuse my French, but it's just rubbish. You've just got to get back onto a whole food, plant-based diet and just say no to it. You know, it's the key to it.
I'm with you there.
Yeah. So salving itself really needs to be used. We call it nature's scalpel. It is a beautiful piece of surgery when you see the photos right through. You go over the course of 2 weeks. 14 days it took to remove a 3-inch tumour from my lung. 10 days to take 2 out of my liver. And this is by applying it on the outside, and the body is smart enough and intelligent enough to create the tube through to the organ, through the skin, and it will release it out through the skin.
Well, that's extraordinary.
When you talk about the crab pot theory,
yeah,
that's exactly what happens. But you need to break the skin and you need to apply the cell, have it on there so that it could absorb through the skin into the bloodstream to the closest point to where the tumour is located, and away you go. And then you've just got to let nature do its stuff.
Right. Well, this is actually the first time I've kind of heard somebody describe using it for internal cancers. I mean, it's very obvious that a salve goes on the outside of the body and would therefore apply to tumours either on the surface or close to it. So, but you're now talking about really deep inside the body, and that actually this thing works and it attracts the cancerous material to actually exit the body. Yeah.
Yes.
Extraordinary.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I haven't seen any pictures of that. but you know, it's very interesting to hear about it for sure.
There's videos and photos in the hundreds of thousands around the world now of people that have gone through this process from start to finish. And yeah, there's a lot of people still living in fear. I mean, they rock up to their doctors and they mention the words black salve, and they just get almost shunned. They get the big threats and all the rest of it.
Mm.
And you know, for people that come through the world, you know, we grow up in our generation. I don't know if it was in yours, but you know, the doctor was always the god. The doctor knows best.
Yeah.
The doctor this, the doctor that. We'll go to the doctor. Well, they've taken it too far.
Anyway, look, I want to get on. I know we're quite a way into the show already, and I want to get down to talking about the actual process, if you like, because a lot of people are not even aware of themselves at all. First of all, I just wanted to ask you about, well, one of the many dangers that mainstream medicines will seek to highlight is that of buying a product with uncertain ingredients, and, you know, that's certainly a valid concern. So without mentioning any brand names, which we can't do, and they can be falsified anyway, of course, is there any way of being sure of buying a well-formulated, good-quality product?
Yeah, there's one way. You make it yourself.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense.
And seriously, it's actually very, very easy.
Is it? Right.
It's, I don't know if you've ever made a, you know, an icing for the top of a cake or something along those lines, but it's probably very similar.
Right, so that's what you do yourself, is
10,
it?
15 minutes, yeah.
Yeah, you do the cell. Right.
Okay. That's probably number one advice. But I mean, if you make it yourself and you go into it, it's a recipe that hasn't changed in 1,000 years.
Hmm.
You can find it in old medical literatures well before the current medical profession started.
Right.
But look, it's got a distinctive smell. How do you guarantee what you're buying? No, you don't. You wouldn't know because it's not. This is one of the things, I suppose, when you take a product that's been given so much fear and created about it by the TGA and the authorities, they create that because they know it works and they've known it works for a long time. So they're going to go out there and put any cobwash they can across anything to do with black cells. So, you know, photographs and, it's not, you know, registered ingredients, or this is a banned, or this is illegal, or, you know, it's really when people get into the step of selving, it's like they need to go, I have to shut down everything else I hear, and I have to engage this, and I've got to take a chance. And one thing the medical authorities can't produce is people that have died using black selve.
Well, that's a very good point. Very important. Okay, well, that should give people a bit of confidence. Yeah.
The other thing you've got to add to that is it's not going to be perfect every time.
Okay.
I've got a couple of scars from my salvings, but, you know, I love those scars. I'm pretty happy with that. They're a good reminder that I'm still alive and I wouldn't be here talking to you today, Robin.
Right. Okay, fair enough.
Get my drift.
So black salve's described as an escharotic. Can you tell us what this means exactly?
Escharotic, yeah. It's a funny word. I think that's what they call it. The word eschar itself, I've never actually taken the time to understand it myself. It's like, I think it's something to do with a substance or a compound escaping the body.
Mm-hmm.
Or the word salve in itself, which is actually salve, is like a drawing agent.
Right.
And there have been salves around, you know, poultices and salves around for centuries.
Yes.
You know, people have got away from what they call the old witchcraft medicine or whatever they tag it these days. You know, oh, it's witchcraft, voodoo medicine and stuff like that. But, you know, you can go to groups like The Truth About Cancer and Ty Bollinger. I mean, he's done a wonderful job putting that together. I don't know if you've researched it, Robin. But they've done teams of modern medicine doctors gone to South America and the tribes, and they're all into cells and poultices and plants and medicines for healing. And these things just work. They're it's quite phenomenal, but they get dunned down, but, you know, and shunned out. There's quite some amazing stuff that's around in all different forms. A cell or an escharotic, if you like, or escharotic, a drawing agent. It will draw not just cancer cells, but it draws abnormal cells. It's cells that are not normal for replacement in the body. Mm-hmm. So I've actually used cells to cure cellulitis. So I don't know if you know what cellulitis is. It's like a bacterial infection that gets between your first dermis layer and the muscle and the skin.
Okay.
The medical professional treatment for that is just heavy intravenous antibiotics. And that's the only thing they can do. They still don't know how to treat it. And I did 7 days in a hospital on the IV, all the rest of it. Same thing, being woken up every 2 hours. They wouldn't allow you to heal. In the end, I just checked myself out, went home, sat down, made a nick on the top of my leg where the cellulitis was, because it was about a 6-inch patch area, put the salve on, and it sucked it all out in 2.5 days and fell off.
Wow.
So the salve is not just there for cancer cells, it's for anything that's abnormal cells within the body. So, hey, it won't work on a particular, it won't work on warts, for example. They use a particular different blend, but still use a blood root for a wart mix. So they might use blood root with something else or a red clover in there. So there's a whole lot of different mixes in the alternative medicine. How to explain an escharotic? I would explain it simply in the word self, in that it's an escape of, it's an escape vent, if you like, where the abnormal cells are withdrawn from the body to the surface of the skin, and then the body processes detaching them and healing up.
Okay. And can we go through the process now? Can you start some, just tell us what's involved and the kind of things that people will need to know in order to do this?
Yeah, so look, if it's skin cancer or whatever it is, they may have a diagnosis, but typically the process, you would order yourself wherever you may get it. Depending on the size, you've got to switch to a lot of intuitive knowledge or feeling with this stuff. And I know this sounds a bit blasé, but you've got to, the selving process is, you know, I've written a few papers that are floating around the world on the web at the moment that, and there's several people out there that have done it. But the key is really just apply it under a bandage for 24 to 36 hours to the spot that may be giving you the grief, and that can be, could be an itchy, it could be irritable, or you could have had it diagnosed as a basal cell carcinoma or some form of skin cancer. So the salve in itself, you need to understand firstly, you can apply it to anywhere on your body. If it is not cancerous or there's no abnormal cells there, you will not get a reaction and you just wash it off.
How interesting.
And that's step one.
Mm.
So it's not there. It won't burn you, like the claims of the TGA or the FDA or whatever. Okay. It just simply won't. You might get a bit of a red mark because it still has the zinc chloride in it, but in the concentration that's in it, it's not enough to do any damage.
Okay.
So if you've got a cancerous notion or abnormal cells there, you should get a reaction. Sometimes you'll feel it tingling within the first 5 minutes if it's quite strong.
Right.
Generally, you might feel a tingle after 30 minutes. You leave it under the bandage for 24 hours, sometimes 36. And you'll get a reaction. And it'll start rising. You'll feel it tingling. Within 36 hours, you should get a little bit of a white ring and the cell is sort of absorbed into the skin. And it'll start a bit of a lump. And that lump there, some people in some cases might apply a bit more salve. You can't apply too much. It's pretty powerful stuff. And it also depends on how deeply rooted the cancer is in itself. So you apply that. You might apply a bit more of a bandage, maybe another few millimetres square on top of it, and you'll get the reaction you're looking for. So after 48 hours, you take the bandage off, and you just leave it. You don't do anything else with it. You just leave it. You just, from that point, if you've got the reaction, you will feel over the next few days the pulling, it'll tingle, it'll feel like it's pulling inside. But in most cases, you'll start to feel the tingling through your arm or leg or body, wherever it is yourself, and it will slowly start filtering cancer cells to that site. Mm. And the site will get bigger. It'll get quite large in some cases. Sometimes I've seen them up to 2 inches across. One of my back was 3 inches by an inch and a half when it finally came out.
Massive.
That was over a 2-week period. Yeah. Mm. But if it's on the body, to get to the organs, the body itself has the intelligence to create a tube from the outer surface of the skin to the organ that is affected. And this I've proven now 5 times, and many people have done exactly the same thing. Mm. So the key with this is be patient. It is one of the most freaky experiences you will ever go through.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Especially if you're on your own. Mm. It is. And all I can say is that it's, I don't know, you'll be thinking you're mad. What's in me? There's aliens coming out of me. We've seen all the movies. What the hell am I? All sorts of thoughts, emotional roller coaster stuff goes through your mind, your head, and everything. And you do. It's a real test. It's a real test of character. Most people have gone through it. They go through it. They come out the side a completely different person because it's quite a roller coaster ride. We all get fearful of things, but probably the greatest fear is something that's inside ourselves that we don't know is there and what the hell's going on, you know?
Yeah.
So having good people around you is very important. You know, family, friends, you can't have negative people around you that will sit there and tell you you're crazy or what have you.
Right.
You get plenty of those.
Yes.
You've got to have good supportive people, and you've got to make that choice. You've got to do your research across groups and evidence with it, and there's thousands of people now around the world. And you'll see where it is. And you follow those instructions, be patient, and most importantly, you've got to hand yourself over and re-educate yourself on the process within the body at a cellular level, which is your immune system and your body's natural ability to heal.
Right.
And the natural ability that's in humans to heal has been dumbed down. It's been taught out of us. We've been taught, take a pill, put some ointment on it, all this stuff. We've just so gotten away from what the body actually has inside itself, which is a pretty complex immune system and healing system and everything it needs to do it by itself. So there's no addition you need to put on. Once the cell's there and you've got the reaction, it will go through the process.
Okay.
4 to 5 days. You'll get a lump that forms. It will heat up around it for around 24 hours, depending on the size of it.
Yes.
But it will get quite warm and hot. You don't need painkillers. I mean, some people do. It can be quite painful depending on the amount of cell and the depth. Look, a couple of Panadol or, paracetamol, whatever you may call, or the one on my lung, that was a 3-inch tumour that was coming out and weeping. I took 4 paracetamol and the whole process of that.
Amazing.
So once it goes through that heating process, you can call the heating up process, it's a bit like an internal radiation that your body heats it up to kill it. So it's killing all the cancer cells that have been drawn to the site. And it does this naturally. Your body will not heat it up to a level that will cause pain because your body knows how much pain and how much heat you can take. But the body's doing this process the whole way through. No one else, nothing else. It's happening on your own immune system and your own ability. After that 24 hours, it will settle back down and then the body will go into the detachment mode of the Isha. And you see, it's usually a hard black lump that can be anywhere from half an inch, quarter of an inch, up to 2 or 3 inches. And it will start severing away at the sides. You'll get a bit of a weeping, a bit of blood oozing. There's no pain. You've got to sort of keep it. You can't put a bandage over it because you risk sticking the bandage to it.
Right.
And if that happens, people pull them off early and they actually interfere with the healing process.
Right.
Because if you pull the Ishar out early, you'll break the tube and all the process of all the replacement cells that are being sent to the site in that process.
Right.
So that's the trickiest part of the process.
A huge amount of patience you need, basically.
Absolutely. I mean, you've really got to set yourself aside, you know, a good couple of weeks, you know, up to 10 days. You don't just sit there. I mean, you know, I went to work every day while I was selling, carried on, did my job. Wasn't painful. In some cases, I'd put the end of a drain pipe over it and tape it over it.
Okay.
So it didn't get bumped under my shirt.
Yeah.
You know, you're talking about self-medication and crude forms, but you've got to use a logical sense and practicality. It's all pretty much a learning curve, but there's plenty of ways to go about that. You do need people around you to help you out. And it's all I can say. And people that can look at it and see it and stomach it and go, oh my God, that is pretty horrendous. And they'll look at it, but if you're treating yourself, you'll be feeling okay, and there'll be an innate knowledge that it's doing what it's supposed to do.
Mm.
And that's the thing that keeps you calm pretty much all the way through it.
Right, yeah.
Usually about 10 days, and then it'll generally fall out or get to a point where it will just fall out.
Right.
And you're left generally with a gaping hole, and this is, of course, the photos that are taken at these stages is what the TGA blasters all over the world, you know, World Wide Web. At that point, you do not put any more salve on it. You do not do anything. The only thing I would recommend and pretty much proven now is treat it with ocean seawater or a good ocean sea salt freshwater mix.
Right.
With perhaps some colloidal silver in it as well, a few drops.
Yeah.
One of the world's greatest antibiotics.
Mm. Right, and so the hole will actually fill itself in?
Yes. Now, this is where people make quite a common mistake, where they'll start packing all sorts of stuff into it and, you know, they'll heal it up with this and all these creams. You just need to be, you actually need, if you understand the layers of the skin, there's about 4 or 5 layers, but the skin will not seal across it properly. You'll get your first dermis layer that will be replacing and replenishing. You'll actually, over a course of 24 to 36 hours, you watch how fast the body replaces these cells in that hole.
Mm.
It is actually something quite spectacular to watch.
Right.
So this is the importance of having the juicing and supporting your immune system while salving.
Right.
Because the garlics and the whole food vegetables are there to support it. You clean your lymphatic system. You've got to have it working. And those types of vegetables start replenishing the cells. It's at a rate like you can't. You actually get quite blown away with how fast it backfills the hole. And within a day, usually within 24 to 36 hours, in some holes that might be half an inch deep, they've come to the surface level of the skin again or the contour. And very quickly, the first and second layers of skin will form across that. And it's quite miraculous to watch. You can't interfere with it. You just don't put anything else onto it. You've got to wait till those first 2 layers of skin are on. Then you can start putting a bit of, you know, coconut oil or the different healing oils around it, but not quite on it. You know, that skin must get its first and second layers on. Then you can start putting the oils on at a later stage. That'll help with the scarring. Most people are, you know, worried about the scarring or anything like that. But at the end of the day, after they've done a few and they've realised what it is, they'll actually enjoy their scar.
Right.
Sounds a bit weird, I know, but...
Right.
And look, within 3 months, it'll be back to a smooth surface and you wouldn't even know what had gone on.
Right. Wow. Okay, look, we're just about out of time. There's one question I do want to ask you, because I'll just have to go over it as quickly as we can. You're a big supporter of the kind of background cleanup job on your diet and specific supportive protocols to work with the salve.
Absolutely. Look, when I started salving, Robin, I wasn't really juicing. I used to have a juicer years ago, and you know, the sports and what have you. But I wasn't really juicing at all, and you know, body got to a rundown state, I suppose. You know, into the early 40s. You sort of go, well, it's come out and then bang, and I wasn't doing any juicing in the first couple of cells, there wasn't any. And then I'd run into Don Tolman. He's phenomenal. He's a big advocate for whole foods and juicing and what have you. You need to do a bit of research on him. He's done a lot of cancer reversals just with whole foods and juicing and no salving.
Right.
But supporting it with a juicing prior to salving, I'm seeing that now, and I'm helping a lot of people out with their salvings. I go, right, get yourself onto a juicing diet straight away for a week before you salve, and that will start flushing the glands in the system. It will start boosting the immune system and getting it ready for the salving. Because salving will continue to work, but you've got to, this is all about the inside, right? Salve is an external application, but it's engaging with your immune system at the core of who you are.
Right.
And it is a kickstart generator for your immune system, and your immune system will respond to the self, and it will go, oh my God, here we go, there's bait in the crab pot, let's get rid of this rubbish, and it just sends it out. I don't know, it sounds a little bit blasé, but to seven salvings, I think there's a lot of people that have salved that can relate to what I just said then.
Okay, look, we're going to have to wrap it up. There's a lot more things I could ask you about, but anyway, it's the first attempt at doing a show about salving. I might have to come back to it again. It's been really fascinating. I think it's one of the most startling examples of alternative medicine. And it's been completely sidelined, as you've already made clear. And I hope the show makes a lot more people aware of it.
Yeah, well, look, you know, there's probably a few pieces in there that might need to be edited, or I might have to go underground, Robin. But look, I'm okay with that. I'm not worried about it. You know, I've said too many times to people, you know, pancreatic cancer was 6 years ago for me, and I've never been to a doctor since the day they slipped that thing in my neck. You know, we've found a way somehow, miraculously. The answers are in nature, they're in whole foods, they're in common sense and what we do, and it's about breaking your belief system that we've been trained and dumbed down with.
Well, thank you very much indeed, Simon, and all the very best to you.
Okay, mate.
Okay. Pretty astounding stuff, I hope you'll agree. Once you've seen photo after photo of it at work, it's hard to find a single valid excuse for ignoring its potential any longer. To finish the show, I'm speaking to a personal friend who has successfully used Black Salve herself. I'm talking to Jessica Richards, author of the very useful Topic of Cancer, over Skype at her home in Bedfordshire. Hi, Jess. Thanks very much for coming on the show to give some homegrown British real-world experience with Black Salve.
Well, no pressure then.
So you're more than 10 years since your initial diagnosis of breast cancer and have, more by
That's
circumstance
correct.
Than anything predetermined, have got this far without any conventional treatment. You've had some great success with approaches previously, such as IV vitamin C, but all of your efforts didn't prevent you from having a recurrence a few years ago, and that was the point you decided to try Black Salve. So can you tell us how and why you got to this decision?
Well, yes, and I first want to say it wasn't a recurrence. It was the initial tumour, which was 3.5 to 4 centimetres, became dormant with the other treatments I was using. Mm-hmm. I wanted to do surgery and then delayed it. And I've never had surgery since, but it wasn't an intention of mine. But I delayed the surgery because the other treatments had rendered the tumour dormant, and it was checked with ultrasounds, etc., and all my blood tests were normal.
Mm.
And that was why I chose not to go ahead with the surgery at the time. I didn't want to disturb it. So it wasn't a recurrence as such, but after about 6 years, due to various circumstances and lots of stress and everything, it began to become active again. So it started to harden up and to involve the skin. And I would say that although I've not done any conventional treatment over the years, I would find it very hard, almost impossible, to have continued for this long without the moral support and the skill of a conventional surgeon and consultant who I've been with for 10 years. It took me 5 months to find him. So that's been a major part of the equation.
Right, right. Okay, so how did you come across Black Salve, and what made you think this is an answer for me?
Well, when it kicked off again, and started to become active, I checked and all of my body chemistry and everything was normal. And I thought, well, I've got to do something about this tumour. I can't live like this, not knowing, you know, and worrying about it. And I had seen there was a blog from Laura Bond. Mm-hmm. And she wrote really excellent blogs. And I'd kept it because about few months before that, must have been about 6 months before that, she wrote something called Black Salve Saved My Life. And it occurred to me at the time, I thought, well, I've been into it for all of these years and I've heard about everything 1,000 times over.
Right.
I'd never heard about Black Salve, never before, so it attracted my attention.
Right.
And I looked at the article, and she always puts really excellent links to research and information. And I kept it. So I went back to that article and I investigated, and it looked like it could be the thing for me to do. I couldn't find anybody who could help me anywhere. No one seemed to know anything about it in the UK. But I did a bit of research on it and I realised it had actually been around for over 2,000 years. There were references to it in all kinds of histories and things, as well as a lot of stuff which was, I suppose, a bit of drama, you know, or I did Black Salve and this happened and all the rest of it. So you've got to sort out the wheat from the chaff.
Yes.
And I sent off for some, and I then managed to find someone who knew something about it in New Zealand, a guy called David Holden, who runs a clinic there.
Right.
And he agreed to monitor me and help me with it, which was pretty difficult anyway, because, you know, with all the time distance and everything between us,
yeah,
we could only do it by sending photos over. But anyway, it came the time. I prepped for about 3 months, in the sense I was fit anyway, but I made sure I was super, super fit, as anti-cancerous as possible, to give myself the best possible chance, because I knew, from what I understood, it was going to be a very, very challenging situation. It was very important that up until then, I had treated myself systemically for 6 years.
Right.
And so on the sixth anniversary, I was already prepared. I had all of the practical stuff that I would need. I didn't tell anybody because I didn't want anybody interfering. And the only people I told were a couple of friends who were going to do some photos as a record for me. Once I decided to engage, I thought, I've got to tell my consultant that I'm doing this, because whether he knows what it is or not, I'm going to be going back to see him, and I don't want to just surprise him.
No, a bit of a shock.
A scar or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And it was, you know, he was entitled to know.
Yeah.
So I'd already engaged in the process when I told him and that it was happening. So he said the only thing that he could say, well, would you please keep me up to date with photos and keep in touch so I can see what's happening, and call on me if you need anything, you know, surgery-wise or any otherwise. And so that's what I did. Well, it took about 30 days of unspeakable pain. There were times during that time where I couldn't even wash, I couldn't eat, I couldn't do anything. But I'm very focused and I'm very tough when it comes down to it. But it was incredibly challenging, and especially as I didn't know what to expect. I'm not a surgeon, I'm not a medic, and I've not seen wounds like that on anybody. So to see it on myself
was scary.
Really a shock to the system.
Yes.
And it was shocking. You know, every time I took the dressing off, it was like, oh, my God, what am I going to see this time? But it was quite extraordinary. And eventually, just as this guy said, it did fall out into the dressing. I didn't do the healing as well as I should have done because I didn't know enough about it at the time. So I've got a little bit more of a scar than I would have done. But I sent the tumour in its entirety. I put it in a histology pot, formaldehyde, and gave half of it to the lab. They analysed it, and it showed that it was just necrotized tumour tissue. So it was obviously been a tumour, and it had been completely destroyed by the treatment. So it had removed it in its entirety, and it was a dead piece of tissue rather than anything active in there. Apparently, it also clears out anything else as well systemically. So that was what happened. When I was examined afterwards, my consultant reported, you know, that it was remarkably clean and clear, and everything else was completely normal. There was no other signs of any disease anywhere.
Right, and that was how long ago?
That was, I did it on the 11th of May 2013.
Okay.
And here we are, and you've been
absolutely well since.
Well, we're speaking on a phone rather than a Ouija board, so I suppose we're ahead of the game.
Excellent.
But what I would like to say to people, the black salve is not only used for breast cancers, it was originally used for skin cancers. And there was a process which was used in the 20th century which involved that in mainstream surgery. And it's called Mohs surgery, M-O-H-S. Now, a Mohs skin cancer specialist is different from other skin cancer specialists and surgeons in the sense that they actually map their own pathology.
Right.
And what Frederick Mohs originally used was a fixative paste, and it contained the same ingredients as black salve, bloodroot, zinc chloride, and stibnite. And he discovered that he could remove malignancies with complete microscopic control if the borders between the neoplasms were clearly demarcated. So they use different things now, but if you have a skin cancer, there are modern technologies now and creams, some of which are actually activated by UV light, sunlight. Ask to see a Mohs surgeon. There are few around because they, I think it's quite expensive because they have to have their own pathologies. So it requires a lot of funding. I interviewed one at St. Thomas's Hospital, and what I realised from that, instead of, if you've got a skin cancer, instead of trying to do something for yourself, there are the technologies there that will have the same result under medical supervision. They also have excellent ways of imaging as well. It's called confocal microscopy before they do surgery, which is three-dimensional imaging using light reflective technology. So if you have any skin lesions, I would highly recommend, before you think about doing something for yourself, ask to see a Mohs surgeon, and they are using the same kind of technologies.
Great. Thank you for that.
But what I would really like to say to people, I've made it clear many, many times, and I've gone on record saying it, but still sometimes people misunderstand, that black salve or even surgery or anything like that is not a cure for cancer. It simply will deal with the tumour. It is not something to go rushing into in a panic. If you've just been diagnosed, and I actually feel a bit the same about surgery as well, but I'm not here to advise on surgery. But my attitude is, if you have time, and it's not an immediately urgent situation where you have to throw the big guns at a tumour, then to me it makes sense to get physically in good condition. So So do everything you can to destroy the cancer environment in your body,
mm-hmm.
and everything you can to support your immune system. So get as well as you possibly can to a safe place and then worry about tackling the tumour. When people go for the tumour first in a panic, you know, they can get some very tricky situations.
Mm-hmm.
So you really need to get yourself physically in a good place and get the right kind of information and backup to monitor you throughout. And please do not just rush into anything out of panic and then try to sort it out afterwards.
Mm.
I've been treating myself for 6 years and I spent another 3 months of really planning and preparing myself to go through that process, and it was incredibly challenging.
Okay, well, that's very loud and clear, that message. Thank you very much indeed, and thanks for adding your personal story to the show today.
Oh, you're welcome, and good luck with the charity, and very well done with it. I think it's a godsend to so many people.
Thank you, Jess.
Well, as you could hear there, Jessica's experience was strikingly different to Simon's, and she certainly doesn't encourage anyone to make hasty decisions about getting involved. But then, the success of her efforts is unavoidable. I hope you found today's show thought-provoking. I certainly have. It certainly highlights the way that the internet, and social media in particular, is revolutionising the way that people are exploring their medical options. In a way, democratising medicine and subverting its power base. As usual, look on yestolife.org.uk for links to information relating to today's show. Just click through from the show icon on the homepage to the show information page. If you've recently become a listener, I'd like to let you know that all the past Yes to Life shows are available on UK Health Radio as Listen on Demand from the Yes to Life show page. Just scroll down to find a wealth of experts and topics that I've covered in past shows. I hope you'll be able to join me again for another Yes to Life show next week. Goodbye.